Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour presented by the Sit or Start Fantasy app. The best app in the industry for all your sitter starts. Put your players in, voila, boom. Just like that, it's going to tell you who to start, and it is right 70% of the time on over 10,000 comparisons every week. Did you just have a rough playoff week? Did you just win? Still use the Sit or Start app. It is awesome. Android and Google Play Store. Well, Google Play Store and Apple iTunes Store. Wow. How you doing, Tyler and Tim? How goes it? Tim, it's nice to have you back. You're all fresh shaven and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm doing good fantasy-wise. You mentioned I'm fresh-shaven. I'm fresh-shaven because, sadly, yesterday we had to have a memorial for my brother-in-law. That's why I've kind of been misplaced from the podcast the past couple weeks. But I am back. I am ready to talk fantasy football because there's nothing better in the world. And this is the start of the playoffs for most leagues. Mm-hmm. If it isn't, then, you know, maybe...
If you're in a Week 17 league, quit that league. That's my advice. Get out.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, overthrow the commissioner and take it over and make it better.
Absolutely.
I'm all for a nice coup. So, but yeah, I'm happy to be back, guys. I missed you. But Tyler, how are you doing, sir?
Good. I just can't stop looking at you because it looks like you just got back from Olympics as an Olympic diver. I mean, there's almost absolutely no hair on you.
He is dolphin smooth.
Yeah. I mean, I got the eyebrows. That's about it.
Barely, but.
Well, I mean, I can pull the shirt up and show you.
They're hiding behind the glasses. You can't see the eyebrows all that well. Oh, there they are.
Okay.
I see them.
Still nice. Got them. Little baby caterpillars.
Nice.
I come in looking like powder.
Great. Underrated movie, by the way. I'm just waiting for them to remake it because Hollywood remakes everything.
But
did you guys see the trailer for the unnecessary Bumblebee movie? What's up with that?
No, but I saw the trailer for Avengers 4, and I...
Oh,
Did you cry?
Oh, yeah.
I am still excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be super long, which is nice. It's going to be like 2.5 hour runtime. It's going to be awesome.
God, it's going to be great. And the best part is Game of Thrones happens in April, The Avengers 4, and then the NFL draft.
And guess what? It's also my birthday in April. So
April 101 month.
Yes. I don't know about that.
I would draft April with the 101 for all those exciting things that are going on. Absolutely.
Well, my birthday is 3 days after Jesus.
So. Who's Jesus?
Jesus Christ.
You mean Jesus, right?
Jesus, yeah.
He served me some tacos the other day.
Hey, we all going down to Tennessee for the draft or what?
That would be awesome. But
we're gonna crash at Riley's place.
Yeah. Well, if his mom lets
everybody
us.
Else in the fantasy industry.
If his mom lets us.
I just want to wear the tan suit out on the town.
You look like a 1970s like stock exchange person.
I would be so flesh colored, people would think I was nude.
Nice.
But how do you guys do in Scott Fishbowl? Let's talk about that.
So I'll start. So I had a bye week last week in Scott Fishbowl. This week I got off to a roaring start. At the halftime of the 1 o'clock games, I had already scored 140 points. So I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna crack like 2 and change. Well, in the second half, we slowed down a little bit because, you know, game script, Saquon Barkley stopped playing. Sony Michel decided to do nothing. Yeah, but I'm 180-something points. I'm second in the division, so I'm looks like I'm going to move on because the top 10 advanced. I looked at the 10th guy, and he's like 50 points behind me. So barring any crazy stuff in the Chicago-LA game or the Minnesota-Seattle game, I should be locked and loaded, ready to go, feeling pretty good about my team. I was debating all week out of the three guys to start two. I couldn't debate between Jeffrey Wilson Jr., Jalen Samuels, and Justin Jackson. I ended up going with Jalen and Justin. Justin didn't do too much. And I also, there was a fourth player, Jared Cook. I left him on my bench, and that's the only decision that really bit me from a points perspective. But luckily, the rest of my team came through. Andrew Luck had a nice game. Brady played well. Barkley, Travis Kelce does what Travis Kelce does. Jarvis Landry finally popped off. So that was nice. Golden Tate, though, you can eat a bag of D's. You did nothing for me this week, and you popped off last week when I was on bye. So maybe Golden Tate next week? I don't know. Just total disappointment with Golden Tate. But how are you doing, Tyler? I think you scored a decent amount of points as well, didn't you?
Yeah. It's an opposite, though. I scored a bunch of points, but my team is not as fortunate as yours when it comes to players. I have been decimated with injuries, starting with Jerick McKinnon from the beginning. But I'm second place in my division at 189. I have Josh Allen, Derek Carr, David Johnson, and McCaffrey, who is nice. But my receivers are Deshaun Hamilton, Tyreek Hill, Zay Jones, Jarvis, Dante Pettis, Kelvin Ridley. And then my tight end is none other than Ian Thomas. Who
it's just like a dynasty squad right there.
Yeah. Who Ian Thomas might come up today, which, Doug, remind people what we're doing today.
So we are doing our buys, 32. Well, we had 32 total buys, but today we're doing this the 16 teams in the NFC. So we're going to be going over our buys that you can go out and get, hopefully at a discount, or you can buy them at their peak now with the opportunity that they're even going to go higher in the future, which I think is one of the pivotal things in Dynasty is don't be afraid to buy a guy that you're into. So like for me, you know, one of mine is like an obvious one. Like you could buy him high right now, but I think he's even going to go to that next echelon next season. So I want to get him before he experiences that price jump. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. Tim, are you still alive in SFB?
I am not alive in SFB. This year was not a good year for me. After making the second round of the playoffs last year, was third overall pick in my draft, and I went with Le'Veon Bell to start my draft. So just kind of struggled there. Tom Brady was one of my quarterbacks. He's had his bit of a decline this year.
Yes, he has.
When I'm riding Kerryon Johnson and Adrian Peterson as my two running backs for the majority of the year, not a great way to start either. So just a little bit of the struggles. Played with some very, very sharp minds in my division. So the waiver wire is even tough and competitive. But it is what it is. You know, that's why it's great this thing's a yearly competition. And I'll be back next year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully we'll I know he's got like thousands upon. Yeah. I think it was, last count, it was like 8,000 or 9,000 people that are that signed up for next year. So I'm hoping, because, you know, I've been in it the last 2 years, that I'm hoping that I can squeak my way in next year. I've made the playoffs both years, so hopefully my goodwill and performance will get me back next year. Because playing in Scott Fishbowl, it's a lot of fun because you get to network with people that you normally wouldn't talk to. And also because it's for such a good cause, you know, doing the Toys for Tots for the kids, seeing the pictures of Matt Price, our friend out on the West Coast, and John Bosch, our kind of friend in the middle of this.
From
the Cincinnati area, going to shop. It is awesome to see. And, you know, hopefully maybe there'll be an East Coast, opportunity. I haven't seen anybody on the East Coast, Scott Fish, so I don't know what's up with that. But if you need someone to shop on the East Coast, I have time. So let me know. And I would love to have the East Coast represented because it is the best coast.
Because we didn't want any Patriots gear part of the toys.
Kids being abused by wearing Tom Brady jerseys.
Yeah.
Now that really is the best part of it. Seeing the pictures, seeing, you know, what actually comes of all this. We get to have the fun of playing fantasy football, but it is for a good cause. And I believe last year he made the local news over there in Minnesota. So it's good that this thing's catching more and more attention because it is a fantastic, fantastic.
And I think last year he did like $12,000, and this year it's up to like $45,000, which is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we've got just the biggest names in the industry in this competition. You know, Matthew Berry, the GOAT of fantasy analysts, is there. And he's been giving it run too. So it's just the exposure has been awesome, and it's so much fun to play in. Mm-hmm. So we will update you on our Scott Fishbowl saga next week. Well, I won't, because I will be in a vehicle somewhere and
down
getting
by the
closer.
River.
I should be in Nebraska by this time next week.
So down by the river. Yep.
Down by the cornfields. Yes, that'll be me in Nebraska, just
freezing.
Chilling in Lincoln. Yeah, I'll probably be. Well, I'm used to the cold, so that's not a big deal.
Oh yeah. That's
so let's
right.
So let's get this this candle lit. We're gonna start with the NFC East, which is Tim's favorite division, because that is the division that houses his favorite team in the Philadelphia Eagles. We won't talk about their performance today. So let's start actually with the New York Giants, the Gigantes. So Tim, this is nice because now I can actually go to you and you can speak about your players instead of kind of just like, you know, giving that general like, hey, here's some guys, this is why Tim likes
hey,
something.
Hey, here's some guys that are crap and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to listen to
Tim. No, I thought you guys did a fantastic job last week. My guys. And not completely throwing me under the bus on most of my list.
We just couldn't believe Chris Conley wasn't on the list. What's up with that?
I when I was doing my list, I'm like,
that was so
it's
off-brand.
Too obvious. It's too obvious if I go Conley, so...
So why don't you kick us off with your New York Giants buys?
Okay, well, I do have Evan Ingram written down, but I'll save him for some. But up until a few weeks ago, this was a guy that kind of just fell off the radar for almost everybody, but it's Corey Coleman. We have to remember this kid was graded out as a first-round talent coming out of college. His attitude got him off the Browns. He had a cup of coffee up there in Buffalo, and now he's with the New York Giants. He's a special teams returner, returning punts. So especially if you're in a league that does give you scoring or special teams return yards, is at least a back end of the roster option, you know, as of right now. But we could possibly see if Sterling Shepard or an Odell Beckham get injured. I know Odell was out today, but we could possibly see Coleman get worked into that offense a little bit more.
Yeah, I like that play. I mean, he's a guy that you can get for virtually free in most of your dynasty leagues. We all know his athletic profile. If you go on Player Profiler, his closest comparison is Odell Beckham Jr. So we know the athleticism is there. You know, hopefully he can get his head right. He had a brief stint with a couple teams this year. So yeah. I like that play as someone you can invest in for very, very little to get Corey Coleman. So my player on the Giants is a player that I notoriously do not like. Just because I think the hype was a little too much, and I'm just, you know, I'm not a huge fan of his game, but at this point, Evan Ingram has become a buy for me because, you know, I can see the quarterback position getting turned over there. We don't have to worry about Eli Manning for too much longer. I think between him, Barkley, Odell, and Sterling Shepard, we see that there's pieces there that could, with the right quarterback, maybe be the next explosive offense in the NFL. Possibly.
I think there needs to be a coach installed.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. So I think, you know, buying Evan Ingram, he's had a lot of injuries this year. People are kind of down on him. He had a nice game today. I think he went 3 for like 77. So he had a decent game today, but it's all about the price. If I could acquire any of those 2017 tight ends, I'll do it. I don't care if it's Jonnu Smith, if it's Evan Ingram. Like, just give me all the 2017 tight ends, and especially where you can probably get Ingram at a discount to a frustrated owner who's feeling that, you know, they haven't paid off their first round pick in a tight end premium type of value. So I like Evan Ingram. Tyler, who do you like on this Giants team?
I went with Sterling Shepard, and it's strictly based off of next team. I don't think they're going to pay him. And if they do, I'd be shocked. I know they just paid Beckham a ton of money. Shepard is a very talented guy that could do very well in a system that really supports a slot receiver. Say, of course, New England. Say New England gets rid of Edelman, Shepard slots in. I don't think they miss a beat at all. Mm-hmm. I think Shepard is a guy who is going to thrive with his next team. And right now, where you can get him... I think he's a steal, so I would go out and try to go for Sterling Shepard.
You think you get Sterling Shepard for a late second?
I'd say mid to late. You might have to add on something.
Okay. I like that play. So let's move on to the Washington Redskins. Tim has a player that I don't know how I forgot because I probably would have taken this player, but this is a player that I am actively going to try to acquire in the offseason. So Tim, talk to me about one of my boys.
Oh, Josh Johnson. I mean, we saw him come now. Come in and just light it up. No. I'm talking Darius Geis. He's the forgotten running back from this class. He got injured in the summer. He never got to play a down of meaningful football at all this year. And he just kind of slid to the back of everybody's mind. Mm. So if you can go to a guy who's held on to him all year and just that recency bias. He's done absolutely nothing for me in the past 6 months. Give him a mediocre offer, he might bite. And you're going to get what was considered the, you know, the number two running back in this class.
Yeah, I think a 2019 first with a little extra flavor can get you guys for most leagues. Now, if you play with a bunch of sharp industry jagaloons like we do, then it might take a little bit more. I actually had a deal in place to get Darius Geis just about 3 weeks ago, and the owner actually backed out on me. We had a deal pretty much agreed on, and then he retracted it, and I was so mad because I wanted Geis so bad. I was giving up a 2019 first, a 2020 first, and a player for Geis and a pick back. And his reasoning was like, he's like, you know, your team's the best team in the league. I don't want to make you stronger. And Geis is a guy I should build around. And I was like, damn it, you're coming to your senses. What are you doing?
Why would you do something like that?
You didn't strike quick enough, Doug.
I know. I'm hoping this owner gets replaced and then I can get Geis from the next guy. So we'll see. That's my dream. So my Washington Redskin is also a rookie this year, and he went on IR as well, and it's not Darius Geis. It is Trey Quinn. So the next player we're going to talk about is kind of involved in this equation. So Trey Quinn is going to be the slot receiver for the Washington Redskins next year. Don't at me, because Tyler's player is going to be a free agent. I won't spoil it. He had a nice game today, too. But Trey Quinn, I like what I saw.
Nice play.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, fantasy points are fantasy points.
That's true.
So I like what I saw out of Trey Quinn before he got hurt. He was getting a lot of targets. He was scoring touchdowns. He had, you know, 2 weeks in a row with a score. You know, he's Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft. I was able to get him either in the late fourth round or as a free agent in a lot of rookie drafts. And he's been in my taxi squad, and that's just the kind of guy that I love that can slot in there as a slot receiver and see all the targets from whoever the quarterback is in Washington next year. That's obviously position is completely up in the air with Alex Smith's infection in his leg. We don't know if he's going to miss time, if he's ever going to play again. So it could be Tyrod Taylor. It could be Teddy Bridgewater. It could be, I don't know, Jameis Winston. Who knows?
Deshaun Kizer.
It could be Ryan Fitzpatrick. We don't know.
Blake Bortles.
It could be the Chortles. There's a lot of options out there. So, yeah, I like Trey Quinn as a piece that you can get dirt cheap right now. So, Tyler, I alluded to it, you know, talking about that free agent wide receiver. Who you got?
Jameson Crowder, and it's pretty much based off what I said about Sterling Shepard, is second team. He showed a bunch of flashes throughout the year. I know Tim was huge on Crowder. He liked the Crowder.
I like Crowder too.
And I was a proponent of buying him last year as well, thinking he was going to do well. But don't go off and selling him now, because he's going to be a free agent and you're going to get a ton of hype. So I would actually advise buying before all that hype starts. And say he goes to a team where it's all the hotness, but you're not a fan of, you should be able to flip him pretty easily for like a second. Because right now his price is, what, a third?
Yeah, maybe. A third. With all his injuries and stuff, people are down on him for sure.
So I'd go out and buy Crowder, and there's so many different options you can do with him during the offseason. You can hold him because the new team, he could get just a ton of targets. Or you actually have another buying window where his price will rise.
Love it. All right, let's move on to the Eagles. So Tim and I had the same player here, so I'll let Tim talk because this is his team. So no one can speak about Dallas Goedert like Tim. So
well, you know
take
what?
It away.
You can speak about Dallas Goedert because I'm switching mine up.
Oh.
I'm going to go Golden Tate.
Okay.
Free agent after this year. He hasn't done much other than one game with the Eagles when it comes to production. I know, Doug, you had him started in a few spots.
So salty.
And it didn't really work out this week. But, yeah, I'm going to switch mine up. I'm going to switch mine to Golden Tate. I think that if it's the Eagles or any other team, Golden Tate has shown throughout his career to be a playmaker, to be that guy, PPR guy, run after the catch guy. And that's really what gets you points in fantasy, and that's how you win your matchup. So take this decreased price tag that he's worked himself into right now, buy him up, and then eat off of it next year.
Love it. All right, so for Dallas Goedert, who looks almost exactly like Zach Ertz out there, by the way. They're really hard to tell.
They are.
Yeah.
Until they get their helmets knocked off.
Yeah, one of them's got like an arm sleeve on the left. The other has an arm sleeve on the right. Like, I was like, wow, these guys look like twins. It's like trying to figure out James White and Sony Michel during the game. They look very similar. So Dallas Goedert, for me, it's more of a long-term play. And you get the benefit if Zach Ertz ever goes down with an injury. And let's be honest, you'll know this, Tim, as a Philadelphia fan. Zach Ertz has been abnormally healthy the last two seasons.
Don't you put that evil on him.
I didn't.
Don't you do that. But yes, you're 100% right. The fact with the amount of work that he has received, the amount of targets, yeah. the amount of catches he's had, the hits he's piled up over these past 2 years to not have an extended absence. And please, Jesus, don't make this happen. But yeah, it's out of the ordinary. So
agreed. And I'm a dynasty owner of Zach Ertz, so I'm not putting that on him, Ricky Bobby. I'm just saying that if you have Dallas Goedert on your roster, if you trade for him or acquire him, that the moment Ertz goes down, I think Goddard's a tight end one. Oh, and that's partially because the tight end position sucks, right? So, you know, I want a guy that tests really well athletically, has a good college profile, and he's shown some flashes already in his rookie season being the number two guy behind Zach Ertz. So I like Dallas Goedert, you know, especially in your tight end premium leagues, who you can probably get him for, I would say, a mid-second right now. If people are like, I don't want to wait it out. And, you know, Zach Ertz did sign a big free agent deal. I think it was last year. But we all know those long-term big deals can be cut at any time. The Eagles are going to run into some cap problems eventually. So, you know, Ertz might only be an Eagle for another couple years. And he's not exactly a spring chicken either. And like you said, the tight end position, we've seen tight ends fall off the face of the earth because of physical, you know, being limited physically because it's such a violent position to play. So I like Dallas Goedert as a target this year. So Tyler, I'm not surprised at this next one. You're showing your colors here as a Notre Dame fan.
It's Josh Adams. He has shown me a lot. He is a big dude, powerful. I think they need to give him the ball more. I know his game this week wasn't the greatest, but he had a couple of good runs with a couple runs where he showed his vision, where a hole closed up and he just went right around to the outside, used his speed. He's got everything. He can actually catch the ball, but I think they got other people for that. You got Darren Sproles and Corey Clement, who went down today. You know, hopefully he's okay. But Adams is a guy I am shooting for. I know his value is probably around a second rounder right now, and I think I'd probably pay that.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to. I have this hankering that the Eagles are going to draft a running back. And I think that might be a competition type of thing with Adams. So I would feel safer like a late second, early third to get Adams on a team.
The Eagles are a team that I could see getting Kareem Hunt in the offseason.
Or Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
No, they couldn't afford him. But
I was going to say the money.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt is definitely an option. And a move like that would just, I mean, Josh Adams would be like, hey, he's a handcuff backup type of guy. So I don't know if I want to give up a second rounder for that. So a little bit of recency bias there, I think, Tyler, but it's okay. I'll let it slide this time.
No, Tyler's kind of hit two Philadelphia running backs in a row now. I didn't necessarily believe in Corey Clement last year.
Clement
Tyler
this year,
though.
Tyler
was saying
it
all season, and he just grew and grew and grew on me. He's been saying Josh Adams. I've had a little bit more love for Josh Adams than I did Corey Clement to start the season. And he has done better than I expected, but
that's true. Yeah. So let's move on to the Dallas Cowgirls. Tim, your second favorite team, right?
Yeah.
JK.
Yeah.
America's
team. Yeah, they're my second favorite team. Mr. Jerry Jones, I'd love to meet you in person, please.
America's team.
I've never shaken the hand of a corpse, but it would be pretty cool to do so.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell me your Cowboys buy here.
I want to buy that Salvation Army drum that stands outside the end zone. Now, honestly, very good game by the Dallas Cowboys. You guys were a much better team. Congratulations. And to the Zebras, you tried your hardest. Just for yourselves. Dak Prescott, since they've made that Amari Cooper trade beforehand, Dak was very inconsistent, very inaccurate, very he was more of a manager where
He was timid.
Yeah, he was trying not to lose games. And since they've made that Amari Cooper trade, Zeke has just dominated almost everybody they've played because they can't add those extra guys up in the box. The safeties have to stay back. Cooper's making plays on the outside, which opens things up for these secondary receivers. Going into the season, we said there's not number one alpha receiver on this team. It's going to be a struggle for everybody. That's how it was for the first half of the season. We see what Dak can do when he has an alpha receiver his rookie year. When Dez was playing as an alpha receiver, we saw what he could do. I like Dak. with an alpha receiver. So as long as he has an alpha receiver there, like Amari Cooper, I am interested in the quarterback himself. I'll buy Dak.
Yeah, I own Dak in a couple spots in Dynasty, so I've been pleasantly surprised as I thought he was an eroding asset, and all of a sudden that I took the rust off and I started scraping at it, and I saw some gold underneath there, and I was like,
took a little toothpaste and a rag. And
it's looking fancy again.
Buffed him right up.
I buffed up my headlights with it. It was great. So for buys, I didn't really have any glaring. I mean, I love Zeke. I have him probably as much as another running back in Dynasty. So I'm just going to give this one as a shout out to my boy, Riley B, my son, my dynasty son, Riley Bymaster. I'm going to say buy Noah Brown, because, you know, why not? He's free everywhere. And I don't know, maybe he'll never be a thing,
but he's just trolling so many chats this all season with Noah Brown.
He is a great blocker. And you know what? Damn it. Maybe that earns him some more on-field time after they cut Allen Hurns.
You know who else is a good blocker? Laquon Treadwell.
Ooh, there we go. I like it. Now you're connecting some dots, Tyler. All right, we'll skip over Noah Brown, but seriously, if you've got a deep league, yeah, sure, stash him. Why not? So let's go to Tyler. Well, you've got a young tight end as your Dallas buy.
Dustin.
He had himself a game today.
Dustin
and it's not
Schultz.
Rico Gathers.
Schultz. So Dallas, I feel like, was like, hey, Eagles, you traded up to take Dallas Goedert in front of us. We are going to show you which tight end is the best. I don't think that's true, but Schultz is a very young tight end who has some pass catching skills. He is not the best blocker, so they will use him as a pass catcher. I think he'll take another, maybe midseason next year, you'll start seeing more of him in the offense if they don't bring back old man Jason Witten, which, you know, it could be a win-win for
us. Get him
us
out
all.
Of the booth at least.
Yeah, I was going to say, get him out of the booth.
Replace him with Greg Olsen, please.
Greg Olsen and Jason Witten, one booth.
No!
With Antonio Gates as booger.
It's the tight end.
And Rob Gronkowski with like the crotch
sideline.
Yeah. He's a sideline reporter.
Hey, for here, Gronk!
He's like tasting beers from fans.
You see a hot chick in the third row?
This has been your hot chick report with Rob Gronkowski.
She's into me.
Oh, Jesus. Let's move to the NFC West. We're going to start with the San Francisco 49ers. Tim, talk to me about the speedy Marquise Goodwin.
A little bit of a post-hype sleeper here. Marquise Goodwin was getting hyped up this summer as he
Him
and
Jimmy G
were gonna make, they were going to make sweet, sweet, passionate love out there on the football field in front of all of us. And we were just going to love it. It was going to be amazing.
Tim, we all remember Jimmy G was in your top three quarterbacks.
Best looking. Him,
still
Eric
is.
Decker, somebody else's helmet
Tom,
came
is
off.
Is it Tom Brady?
Julian Edelman? Danny Amendola.
I'll tell you what. Somebody's helmet came off, I want to say, on the Thursday night game, and I'm like, wow.
Who played Thursday?
The Titans?
Mariota?
No.
Taylor Lewan?
I was just going to say Taylor Lewan.
I forget. I'm pretty sure it was a Thursday
night.
You're
into the
Thursday
bad boys,
game,
aren't
I'm like,
you?
Man, that's a good-looking fella right there. Anyways, we're getting sidetracked.
We need to go on Craigslist. Misconnection. Looking for
Tim's Christmas wish list of hot NFL players. Anyways, Marquise Goodwin.
New article coming out.
A few months ago, his price was much higher than it is that you would pay today. So what I'm saying is, go get the decreased value of Marquise Goodwin. You'll be back next year. Be lucky enough to see all that sweet, you know, downfield passing that they were going to hook up with this year.
Yeah, and for me, it's another pass catcher who's going to make sweet on-field love with Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's Dante Pettis, the rookie, who I love throughout the whole process. One of the best route runners in the draft. When they drafted him, I was like, ooh, I love this fit. So I got Pettis in a bunch of leagues. He's shown out. He's scored in three straight weeks now with Nick Mullins. So we've obviously seen some flashes. If you've watched his film breakdown, this kid is going to be a technician in the likes of a Keenan Allen type of player, I think. I don't know if he's ever going to get the volume that Keenan Allen gets. That's kind of a rare thing. But Pettis should be good enough to be a reliable starter in fantasy in his career. And I love Dante Pettis. So that's the guy that I'm going to try to go out. Now, it stinks that he's kind of coming on the last few weeks, because during the process, my bold prediction this season was that Dante Pettis would be this year's Juju Smith-Schuster. That kind of later round receiver that was picked that jumps in as a wide receiver too. So we've seen some flashes. It hasn't all come true, but Dante Pettis is a guy that I'll gladly give up a mid-second for, a 2019 mid-second to get Pettis, I like him that much. So, Tyler, you have probably my favorite 49er, which if I didn't pick Pettis, it would have been this guy who had a monster, monster game today.
George Kittle, and I'm paying top price. He's going to be
so good.
He's going to be a top three tight end. I think he'll be up there for
a while. He already is.
Well, he already is, but
he's over 1,000 yards on the season.
I don't think his price is worth a top three. You know what I mean? I think he's still he's definitely worth a first. If you're not giving a first for Kittle, mm-hmm. you're stealing him. And I think Kittle is worth a first. I mean, let's look at it this way. George Kittle or Noah Fant?
We don't know where Noah Fant's going to play.
Both Iowa dudes. But I'm saying talent-wise, I know we all love Noah Fant because he's a freak. But so is George Kittle, and George Kittle has it on lock.
He's the most athletic tight end in the 2017 class is George Kittle. And that's saying a lot because they're all freaks in that class.
Yeah, that's O.J. Howard.
One of my favorite George Kittle stories in Dynasty, Pigs 2, we had the rookie draft. I got a copy of George Kittle for $3.
Yeah, that's stupid.
So pumped. And in the last few weeks, I've gotten offers of like O.J. Howard plus $100 for George Kittle. And I'm like, no, I'm rolling with George Kittle because I know that he is an absolute monster, and he's going to continue to be, especially when Jimmy Garoppolo gets back. I love buying any of these Niners offensive pieces makes a ton of sense.
Even Jerick McKinnon.
Oh, because you can get him dirt cheap now, absolutely.
And he's going to be the starter. I don't care who you are. McKinnon is going to just roll right back into the same what he was going to get.
Yeah, McKinnon and Breda makes a perfect combination. You get that Georgia Southern backfield. You know, like, let's make it happen. Plus, Braid is hurt all the time. Sorry, Tim. But I like it. You sprinkle in some Raheem Mostert?
Don't sprinkle in anything because Braid is going to get hurt.
No. No, he's going to figure this out, and he's going to be healthy all year next year.
You got to sprinkle in some smelling salts, apparently.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Seattle, which Tim's got a shockingly consistent asset of the Seattle Seahawks this year. Talk to me.
Yeah, it is. It's very shocking how it's been. But Tyler Lockett.
Great name.
And I don't think he's getting the attention that he deserves because, I mean, he's just scoring touchdowns every week. Every week this guy's scoring.
He's been a rock-solid WR2 this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I don't think the majority of people are giving him that credit and giving him that attention, and therefore his price is going to stay slightly deflated. So I think you can go buy him now. You know, this Seattle team was supposed to kind of be in that rebuild this year, and they are slightly. But I think they're a little more ahead of schedule than most people thought they would be, especially with that offensive line. So I think buying into this team now is good because they're on the rise.
Yeah, a lot of people thought Seattle was going to be like the worst team in the NFC West when the season started, and they are playoff bound, it looks like.
Yeah, you can also buy one of these for Valentine's Day, like Tim has one on, a Tyler Lockett.
It's just a Lockett with Tyler's picture in it?
Yep. Hands on my chin. Doing a sweet face.
it'll hang right near my heart. So my buy for the Seattle Seahawks is their best player. It's Russell Wilson. So as we went into this year, Russell Wilson was a top three quarterback. Now, obviously, with the rise of the quarterback position and the influx of scoring, you know, we've seen Russell Wilson. He's a safe blanket when it comes to fantasy. He's been consistently a QB1 pretty much every single week. His efficiency has been off the charts.
He's nuts.
he's completing like 18 passes but throwing 3 and 4 touchdowns, and it's not just a random week here and there. He's doing it almost every single week. So I think Russell Wilson, now should he regress a little bit? Sure, he should, but he's not. So I think you can get Russell Wilson a lot lower now than you could get him last year, and Russell Wilson is just a rock solid fantasy quarterback. You don't have to worry about these crazy ups and downs with him. He's a lock and loaded QB1. Put him into your lineup every week. You don't have to worry about inconsistencies with Russell Wilson. He actually scores more fantasy points on the road than he does at home, so which is crazy. That usually doesn't happen. So I love being able to go and get Russell Wilson and trading off maybe one of these younger quarterbacks, like maybe it's a Trubisky or someone else that's been on the rise, even like a Jared Goff. You could trade Jared Goff and get Russell Wilson you could get Russell Wilson and something else back for Jared Goff, and I would do that pretty easily, in my opinion. Yeah. Russell's just he's a damn good football player, and he's consistent as all. Tyler, off to you.
Rashad Penny is a guy I'm going to go out and buy just because he is a first-round pick, and he is not worth really a first-round pick. He's probably worth an early second. I think talent will rise. I do like Carson, but I think that they're going to want to get their first-round pick involved more. Rashad Penny has shown very well in the past couple weeks. I think he is kind of coming into his own lately, and I still think you can probably get him for like 201. And why wouldn't you do that for in a class that you have no idea what's going to happen? It looks a little deeper than what we all thought. But Penny, who I have seen go 102, 103, and not being traded for what he is being traded for now, that's definitely how you play Dynasty, is buying low on very high, old, high-value players with a great chance to regain their value to be able to trade them later on.
Absolutely. I love that move. So let's move on to the Arizona Cardinals. Tim, you're going to talk a little bit about a Wookiee with Thiva.
Yeah, Christian Kirk. Going into this week, he was leading the team in targets, yards per attempt, things like that. But Christian Kirk, especially now that he's been injured, I think you can get an even bigger discount on him. This offense has not looked great, but Rosen is a rookie himself, first-year head coach, which I... If there's going to be a first-year head coach that goes, I would imagine the
it
Cardinals
might be
are
Wilkes.
Be,
yeah,
changing head coaches. But you got to like the young pieces that the Cardinals have. And if Rosen can begin to develop, it's just going to help Christian Kirk even more. And Christian Kirk showed he can be, you know, at least flexible for you in your fantasy leagues this year. So he's a guy I'm looking to buy and then put him on the backside of my receivers and help me build some depth there.
Yeah, he could absolutely be that target hog once Larry Fitzgerald is finally all said and done. Christian Kirk's future is definitely really bright. So my buy is his quarterback. So you talked about Josh Rosen a little bit. We've seen this over the past few years, you know, rookie quarterbacks like Jared Goff, like Mitchell Trubisky, just really struggling in their first year. And then Goff obviously makes the second year jump. So does Trubisky. I'm not saying that Josh Rosen is going to make that jump because there was a lot of pieces that fell in place to both of those quarterbacks. But I love buying Josh Rosen, especially in your Superflex leagues, because this is the cheapest you're ever going to get him. You know, people spent a first-round pick for him in Superflex leagues. Now that he's come out there, they score 3 points today against the lowly Detroit Lions. People are just going to be like, I don't know if this guy's going to be any good. So I think you can go out and acquire Josh Rosen. And I think that, you know, with rookie quarterbacks, it takes that experience. Byron Leftwich looks like a promising offensive coordinator. I know they didn't really do much today, but I think the future is bright for Josh Rosen. So he's the one rookie quarterback that I think you can get at a pretty good discount right now from this year's class. So Tyler, you got another rookie you want to talk about for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I have Chase Edmonds. And the only reason
Chase is on the case.
The reason why I like him is because it just seems like David Johnson isn't getting the touches and they're giving more to Chase Edmonds. I don't know why. I love David Johnson. But Chase Edmonds, when he has been in, has looked very good. He looks a lot smaller than I thought he would when he came in. I was like, wow, he looks like Tariq Cohen size. And he's a guy that can kind of weave his way around holes in the middle, and he can run outside, he can pass catch. He's just an all-around back, and I think he will spell David Johnson, and he's a really, like, he's a plus-plus handcuff, a guy that if David Johnson wants to go out, he is going to be a top 20 running back.
He's clearly the guy behind DJ, yeah.
Yep, and I like having those guys on taxi or even just as, like, a sixth running back. Guys that if the main guy gets injured, you've got him instead of the guy who actually has a David Johnson.
Absolutely. So let's move on to the Rams. Tim, you've got a former Texas running back as your buy low.
Yes, I do. I like Malcolm Brown. Another player who is looking at free agency at the end of this year. The Rams have openly said how much they like this guy, but they happen to have some running back McGurley there, so it's kind of hard to get this guy on the field. But carry for carry, he averages the same thing that Mr. Gurley does per carry. Obviously, he doesn't get the same amount of work, so it's a little, you know, a much smaller sample size. But when you're averaging 5.0 yards per carry in this NFL league, that's a stat you need to kind of pay attention to. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. We saw, 2 weeks ago, I want to say, He made like an acrobatic, somehow sideline, tightrope walking entrance into the end zone. You know, the kids, I like his upside. And I'm interested to see where he lands next year. And you're going to get him for an extremely, extremely cheap price right now before he goes somewhere else.
Yep.
And potentially is working his way into being potentially a starting running back for an NFL team.
Yeah, and I think the same holds true for John Kelly, the rookie from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. We won't get too much. He's not my buy low, although I do like John Kelly. I loved him through the process. He didn't test all that well. Then he goes to the Rams, and his dynasty value just goes pew. But he's the backup for Gurley now with Malcolm Brown out. And then if Brown moves on to another team, then Kelly appears to be the number two. So that's a name to remember as well. My buy was Gerald Everett because, you know, I'm team 2017 tight end because Gerald Everett is a freak. He's shown some flashes this year. Now, he has Tyler Higbee in the way for the Rams, but I think Higbee's coming up on, I think this next year will be his last year in his contract. And Everett, just another freak tight end. He's playing in a high-powered offense. He's a guy that you're probably not going to start every single week, but is a guy, like, when it comes to bye weeks or if there's an injury to another pass catcher in the Rams team, I think Gerald Everett is a nice player to acquire. And actually, I acquired him from Tyler in a league. I gave him Jamon Moore, and Tyler gave me Gerald Everett in a tight end premium league. So I loved that move for myself. Sorry, Tyler.
It's okay. I forgot about that until now.
Yeah. It was a very memorable trade for you, I know. So let's get into your buy low here on the Rams, Tyler.
It's Cooper Kupp. And it's another kind of buy high moment. But I think with Kupp, you're going to see an Adam Thielen-like rise to stardom. We all saw it at the beginning of the year. He's Goff's favorite target. And ever since he's been out, it seems like Goff has been having a hard time
finding
just
that
overall. And with Cooper Kupp, it's a lot of just red zone targets, touchdowns. But this year, he's had some big plays, and Cooper Kupp's a guy that, yeah, he was an older rookie. It'll be his third year next year. Like I said, I have a weird feeling it's going to be an Adam Thielen-like rise to top 15 overall dynasty value, and this might be the cheapest you can get him, so I would go out and buy him since he's on the IR.
Absolutely, and he looks a little bit like Dolph Lundgren, which is always a bonus.
True.
I gotta see Creed 2, by the way.
It's Josh McCown's son, to be honest with you.
You know, and he is the original OG Dolph Lundgren lookalike. That is very, very true. So let's move this to the north. We're going to House Stock. We're gonna talk about the Green Bay Packers. Timmy, you've got a guy with a long name, and it's not the one that Tyler has.
No. there are a couple long name receivers here, but I'm gonna start with MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. This guy, out of the receivers, is the number three receiver on this team right now. He has 27 catches this year. He's only two behind Randall Cobb. But despite the fact he has two less catches, he has 150 more yards on the year. He has been the guy that the Packers have installed. Out of this rookie class, they took three receivers here. MVS has been the guy that's got to the field first. He's shown well. He's been targeted by Aaron Rodgers. Now, obviously, we get to see who really gains Aaron's trust this next offseason and what this next coaching staff decides to do. But as of right now, I like what I've seen out of MVS a little bit more than what we're going to hear from Tyler here in a minute. But I think both of them are somebody to keep an eye on. But I like MVS. That's who I'm looking for and who I'm targeting.
Yes, I will gladly be the meat in this wide receiver sandwich here. So my buy player is a guy, like I talked about earlier, you want to buy a guy before he hits the stratosphere. And I know the price right now is going to be pretty, pretty nice to acquire Aaron Jones. But I'm willing to pay the iron price to get Aaron Jones on my team because I think, you know, what we've seen from Aaron Jones. Now, I know everyone was tilting their face off during the game today because Jamal Williams is in. I even received a text message from a friend. What's wrong with Aaron Jones? And I'm like, he didn't get the start. I'm like, I don't know. Aaron Jones ends up getting almost a 30-yard touchdown. He ends up having a nice day over 100 yards from scrimmage. Aaron Jones is going to be an RB1 next year. Get him now while he's the price of an RB2. Pay up to get Aaron Jones. That's all I'm saying. I'm an original Aaron Jones stan, and I don't care who knows it. I love Aaron Jones. Go get him. Pay the price. Tyler.
I'll give, Philbin had me a little on tilt this, you know, this afternoon.
Oh, sure.
But it took him about two drives to figure out what it took McCarthy about half a season. So
he's like, wow, we're not going anywhere. Maybe we should get our best offensive player outside of Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers on the field. Duh. And Philbin's like the biggest. If there was a, if you would look up the word duh in the dictionary, it would have a picture of Joe Philbin in it. Let's be honest. So, Tyler, let's get to your long named receiver from Notre Dame.
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Equanimeous.
He is a guy that I have absolutely loved, and I think you can still get him for real cheap. I think you could probably even get him for a late third, early fourth, and people would probably be okay with it. And it's just because my love holds true. And that's my reasoning. He has actually gotten some time with Aaron Rodgers. There's been a couple times when he has not done what Rodgers has wanted him to do, and I'm like, no, but Rodgers kind of hasn't played well, and I think Rodgers throws blame on other people.
Well, Rodgers is a massive douche. We know this.
I mean, there's another player I absolutely love in James Washington that got thrown under the bus by his quarterback, too. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like ESB has been kind of a cop-out, but from what I have seen, he has played special teams, guys, so it just means...
His daddy said it was okay.
He might be stretching as well, so let's hope next he is able to show other things well. He's had a couple sideline catches that have looked beautiful with his long frame. So hopefully he grows and is able to plant himself as the third receiver once Cobb goes and, say, Geronimo Allison. I don't mind Allison, but I think ESB is probably way more athletic than him.
I would agree. So let's move on to the Detroit Lions. Tim and I, unless he calls an audible, have the same player here. So I will let Tim speak to this young man, a rookie running back from the University of Auburn.
I would have taken this guy, too. Just heads up. Why don't we just all do it? Mine was Stafford in Superflex, and it's just because Stafford had a crap season. And
he sucks out loud.
In Superflex, I don't think it could get any worse than this year. So Stafford is probably a buy. But Kerryon was until I saw you guys all had him, so I thought I'd switch it up. But Kerryon is obvious.
Yeah, I'm going to switch mine to Kenny Golladay, actually. He's obviously the future for this team at wide receiver. I'm sure they'll bring in another piece to add along with him. But we've seen that, especially when he does have a secondary piece to keep, you know, all the coverage off of him, he can produce. And so I'll buy him now before, like Doug said about Aaron Jones, before he hits that next stratosphere, I'll pay the price for him now.
Tyler, talk to me about Kerryon Johnson then.
He was a guy that was my 107, 106, and I would probably pay, I honestly might pay 101.
Really?
I've liked what I've seen. If we're the only way it's not 101 is if Harry lands in a very nice situation and is a first round pick, or
he'll be a first round pick,
or a running back gets taken by the Chiefs, like a good running back, a guy like who's the guy from Alabama, Harris,
Damian Harris,
yeah, Harris, or a guy that a running back, say. Montgomery goes to the Chiefs. That's almost a slam dunk 101. Other than that, I think I would pay the 101 for Kerryon, just because Kerryon, as long as he can stay healthy, he's worth the pick.
He looked pretty awesome this year, I'm not going to lie.
Good.
So, all right, let's move on to the Chicago Bears. Timmy, you want to talk about their signal caller? That's more Boston.
Terrible. I want to talk about Trubisky.
That was terrible.
He's had a good season. He's the team's second leading rusher. He gives you that aspect. He can use his legs to rack up some fantasy points for you, which is always good. But I think in a super flex league, what you're going to have to pay for him here, it's more than worth the price. I think the kid's only going to continue to grow. This is his first season with the offensive-minded head coach there, Nagy. So I, give him another off season to completely just get installed into this entire thing. And we're going to see maybe not the Jared Goff leap, but I expect we're going to see a different level of Trubisky next year.
Yeah, I like that play. Mine is Anthony Miller. Another one of my favorite players in the process. Love, 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 love Anthony Miller. We've seen some flashes from him as well. He's working out of the slot for the Bears. His future is super bright, and I would buy him now. If you can get him for, I would say even like a mid to high second round pick, I would pull the trigger on that, because I think this guy's future,
You probably have to give a late first, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's I mean, well, we've also seen in the last few weeks his volume really hasn't been there. So I think if he finishes the season on a down note, then I think you could probably get him for a high second. If he finishes with a couple really good games in a row, especially where they're playing in primetime, stuff like that, his price will probably be a late first. But yeah, I love Anthony Miller, so I'm trying to run out and get him where I can as well. So Tyler, you've got a tight end, but his name is not Trey Burton, and it's not Deion Sims either. Who is it?
Adam Shaheen, and it's because he is the best tight end for Chicago.
I agree with that.
And he's ultra talented. He was from a, what, D3 school?
Ashland,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
This dude was a freak athlete.
He was a bully.
He showed well. He's a red zone target if I've ever seen one. And I think he's only going to grow with Trubisky. And even when Burton is on the field, it seems like he likes Shaheen more anyways. And he was drafted in the second round, same year as Trubisky. I think they have a connection. I think they're going to start realizing Burton might not be what they expected. He was just kind of a Philly special.
He's a move tight
end, I guess you could say.
Nope. They didn't buy him on special, though. They paid full price.
Yeah,
they definitely paid full price.
But I like me some Shaheen.
Cool. I like that play as well. And you can get him dirt cheap right now.
Yep.
Even in tight end premium leagues, he's kind of an afterthought with a lot of people, but you can get him pretty cheap. So let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings, unless Tim's calling another audible here. Are you calling an audible, Tim? Talk to me.
No, sir.
All right. Then I will let you discuss my preseason boy, who I picked up for free in a bunch of leagues, Mr. Mike Boone.
Yeah, you said it right there. He was exactly that. He was free at the beginning of the year, and nothing against him, but he really hasn't given owners a reason to increase his stock value too much to this point. And Latavius Murray is eventually going to not be on this team.
Yeah, they'll cut him at the end of this year.
Yeah, we see that Dalvin Cook is another running back that is constantly dealing with something. Hopefully that isn't continuous, you know, throughout his career. But if it is, I think Boone's the guy to have there in Minnesota. I think he's going to fill in very well as a backup running back for this team and can be a very startable option if something were to happen to Cook going forward.
Absolutely. I agree. So, Tyler, this one's pretty obvious. Who's your buy for the Minnesota Vikings?
Dalvin Cook, and it's just because right now is probably the cheapest you're ever going to be able to buy him. Yep. I think his price is only going up each game he is playing. He looked good against the Patriots.
He looked awesome against the Pats.
Yeah. That explosion he has, just the 0-100 in nothing, is outstanding. In his cuts, he looks all the way back. I think they need to start giving him the rock. And yeah, like I said, cheapest you're going to get him right now, I'd give 2 firsts for him, no problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. We are both the Dalvin Cook stands of the podcast and maybe the universe.
Probably.
So let's wrap up with the NFC South here. We're going to start with the Carolina Panthers, who are slowly spiraling into the center of the earth this season. But we had a great showing from a rookie tight end, did we not, Tim?
Yes, we did. And Doug, this is another guy that you were just, you know, kind of whispering his name out to everybody this offseason. Hey, don't forget about this guy.
The hands.
What I've seen about this guy.
The baseball mitts.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a first baseman's mitt attached to each one of his arms. I mean, it's crazy. But
are they both lefty, those? Like, are they both left-hand mitts?
I don't know. I haven't taken that big of a peek at it. But I'll tell you what. Ian Thomas is a tight end to watch for. He had, I want to say, 11 or 12 targets today.
That's a lot, yeah. They get a lot of work.
I think he converted like nine of them for catches. So we're seeing him being more and more installed in this offense. Now, I think 11 targets is kind of crazy to expect out of any tight end any given week. But, this guy has shown promise. Great size, huge hands. He should catch everything thrown his direction. But, yeah, just a guy who has gradually grown this year in his rookie year, and I like what his chances are going forward.
Yeah, super raw coming in, and I think that was the big knock on him, but he's being pushed into a starting role,
he's
looking really good. So, now, speaking of players that are being groomed, now, if you listen to this podcast every week, first of all, thank you. You would have heard me say this name as a buy. I think it was like 3 weeks or a month ago before he really started to get some traction in the offense, and that is Curtis Samuel. So he led the team in catches and targets last week. He comes in this week, has another 80 yards through the air. They use him all over the place. To me, if Carolina in the offseason wants to get super creative, they can use him in a lot of the same ways that the Chiefs use Tyreek Hill. Is Samuel's got 4.33 speed. They can give him the ball out of the backfield. This Panthers offense now, it's had parts where it's looked super exciting because you've had Christian McCaffrey, you've had Curtis Samuel, you've had Tyler's player that's coming up here. Now you got Ian Thomas, who's much more athletic than Greg Olsen is. Sorry, Greg. But it's true. And Devin Funchess, bleh. But Curtis Samuel is a screaming buy. I think that Curtis Samuel makes the ascension from, I don't know, let's say a wide receiver 4 or 5 on most of your dynasty rosters to being a starter next year. I really think Curtis Samuel is going to make that leap, and that's a guy that I want to get in on right now. I actually bought him in a league just a few weeks ago for a late second round pick and loved it because I was like, yes, I got myself Curtis Samuel, and now his value is going up and up and up and up and up. So get Curtis Samuel before his value gets to the next level is what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Now, I would love to go buy Curtis Samuel because he's cheap, but I have a thing where I have trouble buying a player where I already have a starting receiver on the opposite end, unless it's Chris Godwin, because I have Evans in a lot of spots, and I will have Chris Godwin in a lot of spots. But DJ Moore is a guy that I think has only touched the surface of what he's going to be.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
He is going to be a wide receiver, high-end wide receiver 2 next year, if not a wide receiver 1. That is... Ooh. My 9 shares of DJ Moore, hope so. So
if not, then you're screwed.
Yeah. But I love DJ Moore, super athletic, still super young, still learning the route tree, and I think he's only going to grow. He could have a Diggs-like ascension coming up sooner than you think.
He's great after the catch, too.
Oh,
I love
so
that.
Yeah,
he had a couple plays today that were really, really nice to see. I was like, oh, they were definitely eye-opening plays, and DJ Moore definitely – If you can get him, I definitely would do that in a heartbeat, kid. All right,
I'd give up any first next year.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yep.
So let's move on to the Pirates of the division. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got all sorts of young players, and we keep losing. They look good for 2 quarters today. I thought the Saints were on the ropes, and then they just pooped their pants in the second half, the Bucks. But, hey, whatever. So you've got a couple names listed here, Tim. Are you just going to take the receiver, or are you going to take the other guy?
I'm going to go with my receiver.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah, because somebody else took the tight end, and I love them both. But the reality is Godwin, another guy this offseason, just so much hype that if you had somebody that, for whatever reason, didn't sell then at that inflated value, might be a little frustrated because he hasn't lived up to the hype necessarily. I mean, he's had a very good year, but based off of what people were saying this offseason, people were expecting just this monster year out of him. I don't think he's hit those numbers, but he's had a very good year. And this is Chris Godwin we're talking about. He is tied with Mike Evans with 5 touchdowns. At least going into this week, he was. I don't know the stats from this game.
Neither of them scored. It was just Cameron Brate this week.
So then Cameron Brate, I believe. Oh, no, he ties him too. So there's like 5 people with 5 touchdowns on this team now through the air. But Chris Godwin is that guy who's going to be able to play Robin to Mike Evans' Batman, and it's going to be awesome. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be there next year. I don't know who the coach is going to be there next year. But I do know that Mike Evans, very good. Chris Godwin, very good. I'm willing to have both of them on my team, just like Tyler said. Go out and get yourself some Chris Godwin before he ascends as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Jameis is going to be the quarterback there next year.
Yep, I agree. I think they need a new coach, though.
Turd Cutter is gone.
Yeah.
See you later. Bye-bye. So my bye is a player that got injured. He went on IR just a few weeks ago. It's another 2017 tight end. Shocker City. I'm so consistent. It's sickening. It's OJ Howard. Another freak tight end from this class. He was a tight end 1, and then he got hurt. People are going to be like, I don't know if I'm really sold on OJ Howard. I'm kind of down on him. And that's a guy that I want to acquire, especially, I'm not huge into getting injured guys, but I just love OJ Howard's game. And I love him with Winston. I know Brait is obviously been the benefactor of Howard being out of the lineup, but Howard was the guy when Winston was the quarterback this year. It wasn't Cameron Brait. Howard's the future at that position. Brait is very cuttable at the end of this year. He's making a ton of money. I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go and Brait signs somewhere else. And then it's just all OJ Howard running around with Godwin and Evans to make a really, really nice offense. Maybe even paired with a second year running back next year. What do you think, Tyler?
I sure hope so, guys. I sure hope so.
How much Ronald Jones do you own?
I own a lot. Let's just say he is sitting on my taxi, and I will be cheering for him a lot next year to be good. And honestly, and it's not for fantasy, just because I think this guy has gotten the shaft in just they haven't even given him a chance. And that's sad. I mean, you spend an early second round pick on a running back and you haven't even given him a legit chance to show his skills. That could do a lot to somebody's confidence. And I just feel like you said, turd cutter, he just needs to put his face in it. And just, it really ticks me off that you just don't even give the kid a chance because he can't pass block that well. Like, Aaron Jones couldn't pass block well either.
So you brought up Rashad Penny earlier. You can get even Ronald Jones even cheaper than you could have got Rashad Penny, can you not?
For like a late second.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Just for the potential alone.
He like nothing's happened. He's only 22 years old. Like, I think he might be even 21 right now. He's super young coming in. I think he'll turn 22 next year. So he could be younger than half the rookie running backs coming out. And give me that.
Yeah, I like that play quite a bit. So let's move on to the Saints. Tim's going to talk a little bit about a guy that doesn't score points on the road, but goes off at home.
That actually used to be the MO for this entire offense, really. But Traquan Smith, this is a guy that when the Saints moved up in the third round to go and take him, it was like, interesting. What are you doing over there, Peyton? I'm going to have to pay a little more attention to this kid. But, yeah, they took Traquan Smith in the third round this year. Like Doug said, he's been hot and cold depending on where they're playing at. But he's played 11 games this year. Out of the Saints receivers that have more than one catch, he has the highest per-catch average on the team. Mm-hmm. So you got to like that. He's being used as a big play receiver. He has 22 catches on the year, 4 scores. And this is just a rookie we're talking about, guys. He's going to grow. Drew Brees has a few more seasons left in him. Sean Payton's got a few more seasons left in him there as head coach. Great offensive system. Great quarterback. You got to like it for Traquan Smith. And honestly, you're going to get him for what? A third round pick?
I'd say a second. I still think the hype, but
yeah.
I'd still probably give that. You'd think next year he comes in as a number two. Yeah, a late second seems about right.
Yeah, I agree with that. So my buy, so Tyler talked a little bit earlier about a couple wide receivers that are going to be hitting free agency and trying to buy them before they find new homes. And that's my play with Mark Ingram. So Mark Ingram is a free agent at the end of the year. And I think Mark Ingram is a starting running back in the NFL without question. He's got a great track record of performance, scored again today, which was always nice. He actually drug one of the defenders.
Yeah, he looks strong.
Like literally the guy was sliding on the ground as he was holding
little giant style.
His Ingram's t-shirt. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, did he just drag him into the end zone? Oh yeah. Mark Ingram is going to be a starting running back somewhere in the NFL next year. It won't be for the Saints. But he's going to be a starter, and I think that Ingram, if he lands in the right spot, he could be a high-end RB2 and maybe even an RB1 if he lands in the right spot. So I'm trying to get Mark Ingram now because you could probably get Ingram. What do you think, Tyler? You can get Ingram for a mid-second?
Yeah, I'd say a mid-second.
And yeah, I think that's a sweet spot for him, and I would pay that price because, you know, he doesn't have a lot of miles on him like a lot of these other running backs. You know, he's a little bit older. I think he's 27. But, I mean, if you can give me 3 more years and he's a starting running back for a team that he just signed with, like, I'll take that for a mid-second, absolutely.
I think he's actually 29.
No.
Yes.
I'm going to fact-check that right now. You can talk about your guy. I'm going to fact-check you.
Okay. Well, going to Mark Ingram, I don't care how old he is. I think he's got a lot of that Frank Gore stench to him.
Oh, sure.
A guy that doesn't seem to be slowing down, a guy that seems to be getting better with age, and I'm all about that. But my guy is just simple Austin Carr. I like what I see out of him every time he's on the field. And I think he should get more opportunity. And it might not happen, but he is real cheap. He might even be a free agent. So if you're able to get Austin Carr and store him on taxi, go and do it.
So Mark Ingram turns 29 on December 21st. So pre-happy birthday to Mark Ingram. Side note, he tied Deuce McAllister as the Saints rushing touchdown leader of all time.
Also, I'm right.
Yes, congratulations, Tyler. I didn't think Mark Ingram was that old. So nice job there for calling me out. So let's go to the Falcons, Mr. Falcon. What is it? What movie? I think it's a Die Hard movie where instead of he calls him Mr. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon or something. I always
the TV edited version.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Kills me every time. So let's go to the Falcons where Tim wants to talk about a rookie.
I like this.
Yeah, I mean, Calvin Ridley was 101, 102 of the receiver group this year as a rookie.
I was going to say, dear God, who are you playing with?
No. Of the receivers, he was the one, he was the one of the two when it came to the rankings here. If, it was between Ridley and Moore. But he started quiet, and then he just exploded.
In fuego.
Exploded. And he's, come back down to earth, but we saw the potential of what he can do now. And so you got to be willing to pay for that potential. I think if he would have continued on at that pace, I don't think he makes my list because his price would just be
astronomical. Yeah.
Almost to a sell. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you're gonna have to pay up for sure. You're gonna have to pay because let's be honest, the owner that has him has also seen those games as well, and he's gonna make you pay for it. But I think he's worth it because as Julio continues to age and Calvin, it's just that it's the same process Julio went through with Roddy. Now we're going to see it with Calvin to Julio. Julio is going to get another year older, and Calvin's just going to get installed more and more with Matt Ryan in this offense. And we're going to see that gradual shift to where Calvin's going to be the guy that's going to be the alpha here in this offense in a short time.
Well, I mean, all Julio does is score touchdowns, so Calvin Anymore. Should get... All Calvin should do is get the yardage because Julio's going to take all the touchdowns anyways.
Yeah, it's totally
that's exactly
his MO.
What's happened with Roddy White.
Yeah, totally Julio's MO with all those touchdowns. It's crazy.
Tons of touchdowns.
So my buy for the Falcons is also a rookie, and it's Ito Smith, another guy that I liked throughout the process that I got dirt cheap almost everywhere.
4.11 in UDPL. 4.11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like Ito a ton. This is more or less because Tyler's guy is probably going to be exiting via free agency. We've seen Devonta Freeman 2 years now in a row been dinged up with injuries. I still like Freeman as a player. He's actually a pretty good buy low for me as well because I think he was a former RB1 overall, and now you can probably get him for a second-round pick. So I would lump Devonta Freeman in there if you still believe, but I want to get some Ito. He's actually been seeing more run than Tyler's player, and he's been more productive. So I think Ito is definitely the number two behind Freeman next year, and if Freeman goes down with another injury, we could be talking Ito as a guy that's touching the ball 15 to 20 times in a pretty good Falcons offense.
I like it. Ito is a guy that I absolutely like too. And Tevin Coleman is a guy that I'm buying, and it's strictly based off of value. Coleman is a guy that I still do like. I have hope in. And he is going to be a free agent. And when he goes, he's going to get that Jerick McKinnon-like treatment.
Probably.
Jerick McKinnon didn't do so hot for the Vikings. He did okay. Same with Tevin Coleman. But the second he went to a team, his value boosted. Like, what if Coleman went to, say, the Colts?
Yeah. Like I mean, I think it would be a repetitive product with Marlon Mack. But
yeah, I agree. Yeah. But, I mean, do the Colts think Marlon Mack is any good with his injuries? Like, Mack True. Is a good player, but I think the injuries is what really hurts him. And if you're not available, you're not any good to the Colts. So could they be a guy who's in play? The Eagles has always been mentioned. He could be a really good complementary back to Josh Adams. I mean, you see Josh Adams as a banger.
If you will.
Huh? Yeah.
That Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah. And when you go back to Freeman, going back to Freeman on the bye, Freeman I like, but his knees scare the crap out of me. It's the second year he's had knee problems, and I just think he's going to be I think 27 next year.
Sounds about right.
So he's getting towards that age of running back because he had a lot of touches his 2015 and 16 when he kind of came out of nowhere. And I just think with his size, it's starting to catch up to him. And I would buy with a little sense of caution with Freeman. So I do like the buy. If you can get it for a second, that's a steal, which you might be able to.
Yeah, I think you could.
There's a lot of caution in the air with Freeman. But Coleman is definitely a guy that you'd buy. And then possibly sell in the offseason once he goes to a different team for a 2019 first.
Yeah, Freeman is going to turn 27 in March. So he just missed the April 101 month. Sorry, Devonta. It's not going to happen this time. You should have been born a few weeks. So that is going to wrap us up for our buys. That was a lot of fun. Do you guys have any final words before we get out of here?
Yeah, Josh Lambeau. Josh Lambeau was the guy on Thursday that I saw without his helmet. He is a good-looking fella. He's got the dimples.
Ooh.
I'm telling you what, especially for a kicker. You would never expect it. Josh Lambeau's the guy.
Tim's the guy that's like, don't get rid of the kickers, please. Don't get rid of kickers.
Kickers matter, especially Josh Lambeau.
No, they don't. Just like team defenses don't matter either. I'm on that train.
One last thing. At the end of the episode, we are going to play our Patreon episode intro done by Gabe Gearing, a good friend of ours. He did the intro. I want to share it to the world and I'll let you guys enjoy it. But you guys can enjoy it every week by joining the Patreon.
Yeah, and we need some content for that. So if you're a Patreon, make sure you're sending us questions. It could be about anything. It could be about fantasy football. It could be about food. It could be about travel. It could be about redheads. It could be about men that are bald. It could be about guys that have lost weight. Whatever you want to know about, send it to us. We want to do these extra podcasts, but if we don't have any content, like, I don't know if you want to sit there and listen to us talk about whatever for 20 minutes. Maybe you do. I don't know.
New jeans.
I got these. I got these great new mom jeans. They're so good. So give us some content. Make sure you check us out on Patreon. It's /DHH pod. So check that out. Make sure you support our Trophy Smack sponsor. If you haven't bought the trophy for your league yet, make sure you go on trophysmack.com. Use code DHHRING. Get that free championship ring. Win your league. Make everybody kiss the ring in a nice little ceremony. It'll be beautiful. And check out the Sitter Start app as well while you're out there on both Android and iTunes. I've been your host, Doug Eddy, with my co-hosts, Tyler and Tim. We're going to be back next week in week 15 at the Dynasty Happy Hour. Go. About to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Of all the places, of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Of all the places, of all the places. Been with the dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping. Now that's a pipe dream for the right fee. I might be entitled to the title, be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sunday, that's the one day I can complain, never complain. Cause I know the boys gon' drop a pie, prop up my squad so I can talk the lie. But here we go again, it's a new year. Rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do fear? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era. Trying to get ships, then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Of all the places, of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Of all the places, of all the places. We'll be right back.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.